Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and this is a product of Purpose Gamer Network, and this is the show concerning voices, and I am the special guest tonight, Brother Robert Pop Hudson. Thank you. Welcome, everyone, and good evening. We thank you for joining us for our 717th episode of Purpose Gamer Network. We thank you so much for participating and joining us, and if you're calling online or on the phone, thanks. Thanks so much for helping us and supporting us here at Purpose Gamer Network. Tonight's episode of Concerned Voices is going to be titled Staying Focused. And, of course, like I said before, I'm your special guest, Brother Robert Pop Hudson, standing in the gap for Sister Latasha Vanish. And so tonight, I just want to let everybody know, and as I normally do during my shows, and I'm covered for Concerned Voices, so I'm going to do the same. I'm just going to give you some verses of the Bible that we're going to be covering throughout tonight's show. So if you have a pencil, paper, or whatever, or, you know, if not, when I'm ready to go over the verse, we'll go through it. So it's going to be Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 17. Also, we're going to go through Exodus chapter 4, 18 through 31. Second Timothy. Chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 and 8, and Romans chapter 3, verses 23. The title today, tonight, Staying Focused. Staying focused is very key to a lot of things I do throughout my life, and I just want to share some things. And just through my experiences alone, it helped me understand. It helps me, center my life. And by doing that, I find out the whole key of what I do is making sure I stay focused. And easy to stay focused, but staying focused, that's the action that you have to take in your life. And, once again, like I said, through me, through my experiences in life, and what I've learned is by staying focused, basically staying centered. A lot of people use a lot of key things in their life that they focus on, and then they move on to the other thing. So basically, a lot of people get bored with the things that work because they want to try something different. And, the basic thing is, and the best analogy I can tell you right now is that a lot of people say practice is purpose, but sometimes repetition is good, over and over again until, like second nature, it becomes almost like you can do things in your sleep. The most available weapon that we can use is prayer. And in so many ways, we all know this. We all know that prayer, knowing that prayer, right off the bat right there, that prayer works and prayer changes things. We keep saying, okay. We pray. Okay. You pray again. You like I said, practice is purpose. Practice, makes things perfect. We practice prayer perfect, then we're putting ourselves in the right perspective. And it seems like, the best way I feel as though, getting to, the listening audience right now is that I have to give you an analogy, and going to show you that how prayer pays off. Let me tell you, what good it can do, for you. Like myself, I can tell you when things are different, when I don't pray, you know, it's when I have a feeling. I have a feeling of an uncertainty. You know, we all know that we're not perfect. So, you know, that covers all of us. And we know that, you know, we know this, you know, because, you know, at the same time when we find that, you know, somebody made a mistake or did something wrong, we just want to go and, you know, I hate to say this, you know, we just want to kill somebody, you know. And on top of that, not only are we not willing to face somebody, you know, one-on-one, we want to kill them in social media where there you have so many different interlopers or so many different people where they can comment or, you know, like this or like that. You know, you have to understand, you know, for example, and I'm going to start off with another analogy right now. And right now I know football season kicked off, and I don't know if anybody knows it, but I'm an avid Eagles fan. I am so glad and grateful, and I'm glad we won the Super Bowl. Did I think it would happen in my lifetime? No. Do I think that at any of the times that I've prayed and said, God, please give us a Super Bowl championship? But I'm going to tell you something. The main thing is at the end of the day that when I realized that we did win the Super Bowl, I am gracious. And I know that God has so many things on his plate. But what makes me think that of all the cities in the world, that, you know, besides the football championship, the soccer championships, the basketball championship, that God is going to really sit there and answer my prayers? God is going to say, hey, we're going to let this roll how it rolls. You know, I said, hey, I know Brother Rob is sitting there praying, you know, for a championship, and he wants to see one before he checks out. But you know what, Brother Rob? This one, I'm going to let the dice roll where they may, because right now I have pressing things to do. So, yes, if you think at any time that God has granted your wish for your team to win a championship, no. And on top of that, you're not staying focused. And, yes, I was on my knees in the final seconds when the game ended for the Eagles securing that Super Bowl win. Now that I do a reflection, and do I say, hey, could I have better spent my time? Yes. And, you know, staying focused is really you staying centered. You know, at any point I could have really said, hey, you know, even though I did want to see things at the end, whether we won or lost, and am I happy about us losing? No, I would not be happy. But at the end of the day, my focus is going to be on what it was before, after win or lose. And, you know, at the same time, we find that, you know, also, you know, like I said, you know, we crucify people on social media. So let me just give you this analogy right here. Okay, so Jesus is on a basketball court. And before anybody presses one, just hang on for a second. Just hear me out. Okay, so Jesus is on the basketball court, and he wants to play a game called All Around the World. And this is a game that a lot of people have played if you are familiar with the game of basketball. All Around the World is where you stand on one spot. You know, you start with the basic close shot on the foul line. You work your way up to the center, to the foul line, and then you work your way back around. And what you want to do is this basically a basketball skill to show, you know, or improve your skill. So Jesus comes up and he goes and he does all, you know, the all around the world play. And he shoots every shot, makes every shot. And then he asks us for, you know, hey, I want to play with somebody. Hey, let me, can three guys come on and play with me? And three random guys come up. First guy comes up, makes the first shot, goes to the next spot. Misses. Second guy comes up, makes first shot, makes second shot, makes his third shot, and on his fourth shot, he misses. And so, here's the third guy. He comes up, and he lines up, and he's going to go ahead, and he's going to go ahead and see if, you know, hey, I'm going to make my, you know, I'm going to take my shots. So he goes all around the world almost, and on his fifth shot, he misses. And so, you know, hey, game's over, you know, but, you know, the bottom line is that whether the guy that made five shots to one shot, you know, and this is where we, you know, we go into one of our scriptures, and hopefully you would understand that whether you made one or you made five shots, you know, basically at the end, you know, at the end of the day, we all fall short of the glory of God. Focus on that. And when I say not focus on falling short, but that no matter what position you are, whether you made the first shot and you missed the rest of them, or you made almost all of them and you've gotten so far, but we are all at the same focal point. We fell short of the glory of God. And so I'm going to go into, actually, I'm just going to change things around. I know you said you want to go to Romans chapter 3, 23. So we're going to go to Romans chapter 3, 22 and 24. And you don't have to have a Bible. I'm going to read the, you know, you can write it down and even revisit this, because this is an interactive program tonight. And I just want to make sure everybody knows that, you know, just how I learned from the Bible, you can learn too, and you can learn from reading. You know, whether you're, you know, you go to, you know, Bible Gateway, or you go to Virtual Bible, you know, wherever you go, whatever translation you're reading in the Bible, the meaning is the same at the end of the verses. So please, you know, if you will. Like I said, I'll go ahead and before I read this first couple of verses right now tonight, I just want to go ahead and go over the verses that we're going to go over tonight in case you missed it. So it's going to be Exodus chapter 4, 1 through 17, also 18 through 31. It's going to be 2 Timothy chapter 1, 13 and 14, Philippians 4, chapter 4, verses 4 through 8, and Romans chapter 3, actually, it's going to be, chapter 3, verses, we'll go 22 to 24. All right, and so the first verse tonight is going to be Romans 3, 22 and 24, namely the righteousness of God through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ of all who believes. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But they are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Bless God for that. So, you know, like I just mentioned, we all fall short of the glory of God, but that doesn't mean that, hey, because we fall short, that we should stop right there. You know, a lot of times through failure, we find redemptions in our works. You reap what you sow. You know, you think a farmer that's farming his crops and he finds, you know, vermin or weevils or whatever in his crops, and just a small short portion of his crops, you think he's going to stop his harvest? No. You know, we reap what we sow. You know, we have to understand that we actually literally reap what we sow. We have to understand through the whole thing, we have to stay focused on a whole focal point of where we are and what we're doing. When we lose that point, you know, it's just like you're reading a book. Have you ever, you know, and this is going to be the best analogy I'm going to use tonight. And, you know, I know a lot of people don't actually read physical books, but sometimes I read physical books. And the best thing about a book is that it's in writing. You don't have to worry about the internet cutting off of it. Well, you don't have to worry about where, as though when you're actually reading something physically in your hands, you actually control, you know, the pace or what's happening. So if you're reading a book physically and you have it in your hand, and then all of a sudden that book falls out of your hand, hits the ground, and you think you lose your spot because you say, hey, I didn't have a marker. Guess what? When you stay focused in Christ, things as you fall short, you may forget where your place was, but guess what? Once you go back in to the Word, He is not going to say you go back to the line. He's not going to say, hey, you got to find the last page you were reading, and then you can proceed. No, He's going to say you were at this point in your life where you fell down, you thought you lost your spot. But when you regain your spot, when you realize that you haven't lost anything, the things that you read in between those pages didn't go anywhere. They're going to be the same words. That's when you realize that you did not lose your spot. You lost your focus. Once you refocus and get back on the page, it's not like the words that you read disappeared or that you had to reread them again. It is that you had to remain and get back to your focus. And so now that you have regained your focus, are there other obstacles in your way? Yes, there are. Just like the book falling out your hand, thinking you lost your place, you always will have a place. You will always have a place as long as you stay focused. Now, let me get back onto our main topic about staying focused. Most of the time, the main reason why we lose focus is because of the people around us. You know, we say a lot of times that, hey, you know what? Family members are really, you know, they're something I didn't choose. And you say, hey, friends are the best thing to have until they go on, until they tell you and convince you the wrong thing. So I know, and I, like I said, I'm going to really put myself there and let you know, to put you into perspective and let you know like how this really is and how it is about staying focused. And I'm going to tell you how easy it is for you to lose that focus. Now, when you lose focus, it's the people around you. Now, you say you want to choose to be with your friends, but at the end of the day, most of the time, you're going to lay your head down around family. Then when you lay your head down around family, what is the atmosphere around your family? And now, I'm going to be honest, and I'm going to tell you right now. Now, the best way to describe my family, and if I was to put it into some simple words and say, well, my family is... All right, so let me restart this phrasing again. All right, so my family is warlike. My family is warlike. Now, that's the best way to describe it. You know, family is warlike. You know, at the drop of a hat, they ready to throw down. They ready, oh, let's get them. Or, oh, I can't stand it. Or, oh, they don't do that. They're not going to do that to my sister. They ain't going to do that to my brother. They ain't going to do that to my cousin, my whatever. But that's my family. And I know what it is. And that's how it is, you know. And like I said, if I wanted to best describe my family to everybody, yes, you'll see the loving, warm, kind inside. You'll see the, you know, the conversational piece. How's the weather? How about those Phillies? Oh, wow, I'm glad we got this. Oh, wow, man. You know, but when it ain't so sunny and it's gloomy, you know, it's dark and outcast right there, that's when my family's down to throw down. What? He stepped on your shoes? Oh, I ain't accepting that. I wouldn't accept that apology. If it was me, this is what I would do. Oh, partner, stay focused. Stay focused. Is that what you really going to do? Are you really going to be that ruthless? Are you really you know, and like I said, the people around you, is that the sounding board you really want to have to come out of your personality, of your representation of your family? Is that really who y'all are? And I know that there's a lot of people out there that know that they think that whatever predicament you think that is coming forth from the majority of what's going on, it only takes one voice of reason. And that happens all throughout and throughout history. Of no matter who you are, where you are, what religion you follow. You know, because you seek one path does not mean where you think you're going to, where the road is going to wind up and take you there, that you, that's where you're going to be at. You know, there are so many people right now started out thinking that they knew what they were focused on and they knew what they were going to be doing. You know, and I can start out with, you know, so many people. Like, you know, there's Alexander Graham Bell. You think he started out really trying to invent the telephone? You know, you can read your history, and it goes on and on throughout the Bible about people really not focused and meditating on, you know, what they were actually taking charge, thought they were taking charge of their life, actually thinking they were fulfilling their dreams. But what happened was their actual dreams was a precursor of with the reality of what God had placed within you, what he wanted you to do and how he felt fit that you should actually help our society and yourself by believing, by having that thought, by having that thought process, and then focusing on something. And once he has your focus, when he can get you and pinpoint to where he needs you to go. Everybody, you know, the best thing that everybody thinks and when they start out is, and even me, myself included, this is how I started out when I was doing things. I thought I was actually heat-seeking missile and that once I, this is what I want and I'm going to keep hitting that, and then I won't, but guess what? It didn't happen that way. You know, and just using, okay, all right, one more analogy. You know, probably a couple more tonight. But, you know, heat-seeking missile is, you know, heat-seeking missile, excuse me, is something that starts out and it won't stop till it's a target. Yes, you know, if, you know, through Christ, we would do that. But right now, you know, if we don't have our self-focused on something, it will become fractured and fragmented. And so once we start on that path and we think we are hitting a target and we want to, all of a sudden something comes in the way and stops us from hitting that target and we go somewhere else. We have to make sure that we remain focused. Without focus and without perception, we don't know what direction we're going in. Sometimes if you don't understand this, you may see somebody that starts projects and never finishes them because they don't stay focused. What happens is, of all the things that you think that you want or you think that you intended to want to accomplish, why we don't accomplish because we don't stay focused because we let the distractions for us, and once those distractions become before us, then we don't know how to start at square one. Where that heat-seeking missile that's warning, thought we were going to hit that target, but all of a sudden we've become that squiggly line in the sky, thinking that we're ready to hit something, but even don't know where it is because we don't even remember where we started and where we were intending to go on because so many things fill our focus where we're distracted at what we focused on in the first place. So, can I do an analogy again? I got one more. All right, so. I know you've heard of Barnum and Bailey Circus, and you wonder why you see the guy with the you know, the funny looking hat. He comes in with the whip, and he has a stool. So the funny thing about, you know, all this, and you know, with animal trainers and anybody that deals with deadly animals, the first thing you have to do is you have to distract that animal. And when you distract an animal, what happens is that animal comes as deadly as a flea. And you say, how is that possible? This is why. Because animals, one of the things about animals is they have no focal point. Animals have no focal point. And the reason why I say that is because if you, you know, if you ever see movies where a bear is chasing somebody and somebody throws a big rock and all of a sudden the bear turns around and forgets about the person they were chasing. Well, that's true. And that's what happens to us, too. I mean, basically, we're animals. And getting back to the lion's hammer or whatever you want to call him. And so what happens is when he comes in a cage, the first thing he does is, you know, he has the whip and he throws the whip in one direction. And then his other hand, he has a stool. What he does is when he pulls that stool up, that stool has four points. Now, that lion cracked the whip, but he does not hear anything coming towards him. Now, as nature says, if you hear something and you see something and they're coming from different directions, that means you have to go back or you have to retreat because too many things are coming at you at one time until you remain focused. So now when the guy puts that stool down in a cage, and he has a whip in the hand. The lion is so confused, the lion does not know what to do. So what happens is the blueprint on taming the lion. The lion is so deadly, but yet the lion cannot remain focused. And one of the things they do is they make sure that lion is well fed, of course. And if you're wondering, like, what happened to Sixteen Lloyd or, you know, one of the guys that got bit by the lion or the tiger, because the tiger went tiger, because the tiger said enough is enough. This is not my nature. This is not what I do. So now I've seen all the trick that you've done. You've pulled the wool over my eyes so many times. And the tiger said, you know what? You put your head in my mouth. You know what's going to happen? I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I seen everything you had to do. Guess what? I'm taking a bite. And, you know, the funny thing about it was that, you know, the news story, the tiger went crazy. The tiger bit him, and the tiger does his routine so many times. No, the tiger went tiger. The tiger wasn't crazy. He was crazy, thinking he can keep doing that so many times, and the tiger not going to bite him. I have a pet dog, and I play my dog, but I'm not going to keep letting my dog open her mouth thinking I can put my hand in her mouth, let alone I would not put my head in her mouth. So what makes him think that he's any different, that nature will not return or just say, hey, listen, I was out of focus, and now it's just like someone that can't see real good and puts on a pair of reading glasses. Once you get your focus back, things that naturally should be done, or you think that your blessings that you missed are gone, they're still there. God is not going to just say, hey, listen, I created this guy. He's a failure. You know, I'm going to just wrap all these blessings up and give it to somebody else. No, God does not set anyone up to fail. The only thing that fails is something man-made, something man prospers from, something that man manufactures to wonder, to make you lose focus, to make you think that whatever he's doing or whatever is going on around the world, that he's amazing, he's outstanding, that he's this, he's that. What he's doing is he is taking away your focus. He's taking away where you're supposed to bring praise to, where you're supposed to worship at. All praise is to God. God is on time, every time, and all time. Why should a magician or somebody just there to entertain you? Why? What makes you think that he's greater than God Almighty? What makes you think that for whatever razzle-dazzle that he has, you know, what it is? And, you know, just, you know, let me just tone it down for just a couple seconds. And I'd like to thank everybody for joining us for the 717th episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. If you want to call in and join the conversation, if you're online, it's 219-527-6091. You just hit the number one, you can join the conversation. And, you know, right now, you know, like I said, you know, as an example, you know, you're subscribing my family, and I don't know how I got to where I was right there just now a moment ago, but I just wanted to just, you know, just fall back and just, you know, just let everybody know that, like, sometimes, you know, we have to get down to business. We have to make sure that we are about our business. And, you know, I took a business management course, you know, and one of the, just for a refresher, and it was at the time where, you know, I wanted to learn more about businesses, and one of the terms that I learned was ROI, which is return on investments, which stands for, you know, ROI, which stands for return on investment. And our prayers are more like our investment. You know, believe me, there's nothing that you can't pray your way out of. You know, even in situations, you know, with family, with chaos all around, you know, prayer is a game changer. Standing in a whirlwind of a mess, you know, you don't have to stand there, and you don't have to add on to that mess, you know, that's around you. You know, it could be just that, you know, a little, you know, like we're hearing about hurricanes. It could be a little tropical storm. But, you know, your little add-ons, you know, can create a hurricane. When you create a hurricane, guess what? Just because you create a hurricane don't mean you have to be in the center of the eye. I have a hurricane that's the most destructive part of the hurricane. But guess what? Sometimes we call ourselves a little add-on, little this and little that. You know, and I said this earlier. Oh, well, if that was me, I wouldn't do that. Or I wouldn't take that. Or, you know what? You know what? I would do to that person. They did that to me. Oh, what? Oh, man. Oh, you know what? I don't know what's wrong with you, but this is what I would have did. You just created a hurricane out of a tropical storm. Come on. Really? Point in time, we have to make sure that we are our own problem solvers, because staying focused, if we're constantly in chaos, we're not moving forward. And if we're jumping into somebody else's chaos, what are we doing? Nah, you know what we doing? We doing our add-ons. What do add-ons doing? Nothing. Nothing but making it worse. You know, we have to make sure we have our problem-solving skills, because when we stay focused, we solve our problems. And if you're a good friend or if you're a good family member, you help solve their problems. And right now, tonight, we do have a caller, so I'm going to let a caller on. Actually, let me see if I can bring that caller back on. Well, you know, what caller? Yeah, there we go. We got the caller back. All right, so I'm going to bring the caller on. Welcome to Purpose Kingdom Network. This is Concerned Voices. Your special guest tonight, Brother Robert Pop-Up Hudson. How are you doing tonight, and would you like to add on for tonight?
Hello. Brother, I'm sorry. Hello, Brother Pop-Pop. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself? I'm blessed, and, you know, I'm highly favored. How about you?
I'm doing good today. My name is Maurice, and I just wanted to ask a couple questions. I mean, I had something that you touched on just a little bit ago. You touched on I'm from North Philly, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm from North. You know what I mean? But
likewise.
I moved to Bristol
likewise.
For quite some time. But at the same time, I, you know, too many people I can't relate to when it comes down to, you know, speaking the word. And it was a metaphor that I just stuck with me when you were saying about, like, the tigers and the lions, you know? Like, and the aspect that I took from that was we're in our own nature, you know what I mean? And our nature is to be what we have to pay for, and which is our sin. But at the same time, we have to believe in something bigger than us, because it was written. And not only that it was written, you know what I'm saying? Like, how can it's saying that a man can say, let me put my head in your mouth, lion or tiger or bear or monkey. Could a lion or a tiger, is it all right for a lion or even my domestic animal to have rule over me? No, it was always said that man rule animal, and men have ruled animal for many years. But there's a breaking point, and there's a breaking point when you're focused. And that animal at the time maybe was focused when he took that chomp or that bite out of that trainer who put his head in his mouth, because at that time he was focused on not using it cruelly, saying that that's why he did it. But, you know, we do the same as humans. We kill deer, cows, you know, to eat. And we know as humans that that's what wild animals like lions and tigers and animals like that, they eat meat. So for me to actually try to take this animal element only because it's said that I rule over animals, that doesn't mean play with animals.
And that's, you
instant,
know what,
instant.
Brother Maurice, that's
what I
true.
Took from that.
And so I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to share with you, you know, tonight, something that happened to me. And what happened to me, it was when I was in a, and I could say pretty much chaos, but it was, I thought it was organized chaos. And if you, the words I'm saying right now, if you say
yes,
organized, and you say chaos, and you say, well, if you put them together, they seem contradictory. And that's what happened. You
right.
know, at the time, you know, I was a young guy, and I'm just going to, you know, just tell you what happened. So what happened was, you know, I was around a time where, you know, I came out the military, so I was handling guns because I was familiar with them, you know, and I had firearms, and, you know, I got out the Navy, and a lot of my friends, they were, you know, gravitated towards me. They wanted to know, you know, what I did in there,
okay.
and, you know,
right.
what could I do
okay.
and stuff like that. And, you
yes.
know, so I had a couple, you know, firearms, and then I settled down on one that I particularly liked. And, you know, at one time, you know, an incident happened. And, you know, you don't own a gun to intend, you know, especially when you're not law enforcement, you're no longer military, you don't think that you're expecting that you're going to be using this gun besides protecting your home or your family. And what happened was, you know, my sister, her boyfriend got killed. And, you know, I knew a lot of his family members. I knew his cousins. I knew his brother. And, of course, you know, like I said, my sister, that was my sister's boyfriend. And so,
yes.
you know, we were just sitting there talking, you know, drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you know, his cousin comes in and says, hey, I know where the guy is at. And,
right.
At that point in time, everybody looking at each other like, okay, well, you know, I didn't have a car at the time, but somebody had a car. I was like, well, where is he at? He's like, same spot he killed him at. And we were all just like really upset and agitated. We was like, come on, he right there now? Yeah. Let's go get him. And at the time, you know, like I said, I would show my friends my gun. We go to firing range, or we just go into the basement and, you know, fire firearms and be firing them. You know,
yes.
long story short was that, you know, he's like, all right, come on, Rob, let's go. So I'm ready to go out the door, and I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, like, oh, man, you know what? That's my boy, and that's my sister's boyfriend. But, man, I ain't really trying to go out and kill nobody. And then at the same time, his brother came to me and said, hey, Rob, I really got to talk to you, you know, before you go out the door. I'm like, and I'm thinking he's going to tell me don't do it or something like that. He was like, I don't have a gun. And so at the time, I'm thinking, he's like, yo, this is my brother. I don't want to do this, but you know what? They know where he at. So I gave him my gun. And I felt guilty, and I felt really like, oh, dad. I'm like, okay, I don't want to do this. And I gave the gun to him. Now he's going to go do it. And, you know, long story short, you know, by the grace of God, and I'm not saying that jail or any kind of criminal prosecution is good for anybody, but before
right,
they got there,
right.
The cops pulled them over, and they all got caught with a gun charge. You know,
and it could have been worse than that.
It could have been worse than that. And my thing is that even though I didn't get on my knees and pray, I was like, please, God, enough is enough. You know, please. And, you know, if he's mercy and grace of God, you know, we have to make sure that we put that plea out there. We just can't lose that focus where we just can't think that everything is all chaotic and we just lose control and we just don't know what to say or do. Okay, God
right.
is the creator. God is he's there. We had to talk to
yes.
him. I mean, I
right.
understand that, you know, and I was saying earlier, you know, a football
yes.
team winning the Super Bowl is one thing. For you praying
yes.
for somebody to survive cancer, for you praying for somebody to survive a gunshot, for you praying over your friends to make sure that the wrong thing don't happen to them, that's a major thing. It's a major difference. That's a big focus, big focal point. If you can go ahead and pinpoint it, and like I said, with the heat-seeking missile, make sure that if you are sending a heat-seeking missile or heat-seeking prayer, make sure it is received. Okay, guess what? Once it's received, you know, God will make sure what is needed for you. You know, and I don't know if you can hang around, but, you know, there's a saying that a lot of older folks say to younger folks, and they probably don't understand it. And it's like, if you want to worry about it, don't pray about it. If you want to pray about it, don't worry about it. So it's like
right.
you don't want to create that battle within the battle. You don't want to go turn around and pray about something, and then the next day you wake up and you start worrying about it. If you prayed about it, there's no need to worry about it.
Right.
And if you're worried about something, well, you know what I mean? Why are you going to pray? Because it's going to think, you know, you're worrying about it. What are you worrying about it for? You know? You
right.
just pray. But, you know, Brother Maurice, you know, I thank you so much. You know, if you do have another comment, I just want you to stay on the line to comment. But if not, you know, feel free to, you know, join us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, same number you call. Enjoy your conversation. You know,
no, thank
you.
I
thank
you
so much for calling.
Thank
okay,
you.
So
I appreciate
do is,
everything.
Don't hang up. What I'm going to do something to do is the call of salvation. And the call of salvation
okay.
is something that, you know, I think I really can relate to you. So it is something I want to make sure that you hear, you know, the call of salvation, because I'm not sure, feel as though in my spirit that probably want to hear it. And what I normally ask everybody to do is to repeat what I say. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you in a queue. I'm going to do the call of salvation. And if you want, I'll bring you back. I'll just check on you real quick, okay? But just make sure you hang in there for the call of salvation, okay?
Okay.
All right. And so we thank everybody. And I just want to let everybody know the call of salvation, the reason why the call of salvation is special to me and a lot of the hosts on Purpose Kingdom Network is because it's an earnest prayer out to God. You know, way back when, you know, I thought that I knew everything. I thought that, you know what, you know, I'm doing this. I'm doing this righteous. Until I actually consciously said with my mouth what was going on in my life. And until I consciously created that connection with my Father out in heaven. You know, when I did that, what I did was I actually talked to him. And what I did is, and if you have never done this, you can repeat after me. And if you have done this, you can rededicate yourself. And this is what I said. I said, Father, I know that I have broken your laws and my sins have separated me from you. I am truly sorry. and I know I want to turn away from my past full sin life, sinful life. Toward you, please forgive me and help me avoid sinning again. I believe that your son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayers. I invite Jesus to become the Lord of my life, to rule and reign in my heart from this day forever. Please send your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and to do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, you don't have to say it exactly the way I said it, but make sure you say it earnest. And I hope that you understand the earnestness in my words, because that is how I felt, and that's what I always will believe. Because that is my focal point. That is how I stay focused. That is how I make sure I remain, you know, focused. Believe me, it's not easy. It's not easy. What you're doing is you're claiming ownership. And before we, you know, proceed, I'm just going to go ahead and bring my guest on, Maurice, back on. Brother Maurice, can you hear me? All right. And hopefully Brother Maurice heard the
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh,
I can hear you.
Okay. All right. And is there anything you want to add on before we wrap things up?
I just want to say that I had a wonderful time tonight, especially with all of the words that you were saying. You know what I mean? Because like I said, like, when I speak to a lot of different brothers or, you know, like, pastors or ministers or popes or whatever, like for some reason, like, they can't get into how I feel about my higher power, meaning God. You know what I'm saying? So, I like the way that you broke it down, because I'm on earth. You know what I'm saying? I'm here on earth, and I can relate to what's going on earth, because the power that's generated from beyond earth is the reason why earth move and does what it does.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know what I mean? And I know and believe that there's a God. So the way you explain, you know, today's session or whatever, I really understood, and I understood it. I really felt and understood it.
Yeah, and Brother Maurice, before I'll go ahead and get back to the show, I just want to, you know, express to you that, yes, we do have a separation from church. And a lot of people don't understand that, you know, before you walk, you crawl. There's a lot of times that we have that spiritual separation from one another, where we don't know how to reach back and spiritually uplift each other. And that's the reason why I had created this episode right here tonight, was to let you know that if you stay focused, that there is no steps that you can create. There is not going to be a separation between, you know, church and Brother Maurice. Brother Maurice is going to be coming to church. Brother Maurice is going to understand there's going to be a brother like me or somebody that is going to be bridging the gap. You know, this is what Purpose Kingdom was created about, is bridging the gap between the kingdom and earth to uplift us to heaven. And that's what, you know, basically what this network is all about. And, you know, we hope that, you know, you can join us, you know, every night that you're able to. And, you know, after the call of salvation, what I'll do is, Brother Maurice, tomorrow night we do have a program. It's going to be at 8:30 tomorrow evening. It's normally my show, and but I'm standing in for Sister Latasha for the night. But please join us tomorrow night at the 8:30 p.m. hour. And each and every one of you that's listening online, or whether you're calling on the phone, just join us tomorrow night, you know, at 8:30 p.m. And it's going to be Self-Expressions, which is my show. And it's going to be a special guest on that show tomorrow evening. It's going to be Pastor Troy Daly. You know, God's will, God's blessing. We hope that you join us tomorrow evening. And, you know, if you want to correspond with us here, Kingdom Network, you can correspond with us here at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. You can send your comments, questions, concerns, or you can simply say hello or send a prayer request. Also, you can go on iTunes, LinkedIn, and Google Plus, where you can hear our past or previous broadcasts. You can also go on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom, where you can simply type in the host name or the show name, and you can listen to their show in its entirety and at your convenience. I know we have listeners all over the world and online. We thank you and appreciate you very much. You're the ones that make us keep going. We broadcast, like I said, to make sure that the separation between the kingdom and our listeners are, you know, that we greatly make sure that we close that gap, that we're, you know, that we're together on what we're here to do. We stay focused, and that we remain focused to make sure that spiritually that we can get what we want to, you know, what we want done. You know, just like, you know, I've sat there and prayed. You know, this has happened before. You know, Daniel in the lion's den, he prayed his way out of it. You know, Jonah in the belly of the whale, he prayed his way out of it. You know, there's so many others. You know, we have to understand, we have to stay focused, you know. It sounds so easy, but yet it seems like everybody's so hard to do it. Praying your way out of it is actually getting out of it. You know, we're getting out, you know, put it in his hands. Let him know that you're in trouble. Let him know. You know, there's a thing, you know, SOS. You know, you send out an SOS, smoke signals. You sit your prayer out and you let God know that, you know, there's a reason why they say put the whole armor of the Lord on. Because he you know what I mean, he's going to bear your burden. You know, and there's so many different things, you know, like the sand. And, you know, you're busy, you know, you're getting on God like, wow, man, can't believe God let me go through this. But sometimes we have to go through the fire. We have to be forced through the fire. We have to, you know, we have to be battle hardened. We have to be battle forged, flame tested. You know, you ever wonder how all those on an infomercial, how this article, you know, it won't do this. You know, you can fire steel in it, and you can put, you know, and when you go and scrape it out, the steel comes out, it won't stick to the pan. How do you think all that? It was all battle tested. All that, it went through something. It went through some kind of test by through, you know, chemists and scientists, you know, flame boiled and this, that, and the other. You think they just came up one day and woke up and said, hey, you know what, I got an idea where nothing will stick to this frying pan. No matter what you put into it, you can put eggs, you can put steel, you can put maple wood, you can put this in it, and it won't stick. Well, how do you think that came about? How many tries do you think that guy started with? I'm going to put tar from the street in here, and it won't stick. You know, we have to make sure we stay focused. Because that guy with that made that stainless steel pot to make sure nothing stuck to it. No matter how many through how many trials and errors, he stuck through it and got whatever he wanted to accomplish. He made that. He made it by mistake or by through trial and error. You know, by trial and error. If we think we made a mistake, we didn't make a mistake. It was all through the grand design. God meant for us to stay focused. God meant for us not to fail. God made us to make sure that we withstand the fires, we withstand the trials and tribulations, that we make sure we stand and be able to make our testimony. That's what it's about. That's what about staying focused is. We can stay focused. Stay focused. This is not a thing where, you know, where it says, hey, stay awake. Oh, don't fall asleep. No. This is about staying focused. You don't have to worry about something that you're susceptible of that, whereas though it's something that you can't control. You can control this. You're in a driver's seat. All you have to do is stay focused. The signs are there. God will lead you. God will be your GPS. God will make sure you get to your destination. All you have to do is stay focused and make sure that what you are or you set out to do is in line with what God sets out for you to do. You know, a lot of times, we are our own enemy. Sometimes we are our own interference. We are our own interceptor. Imagine, okay, we're in football season now. Imagine a quarterback throwing a football to the end zone for a touchdown, and all of a sudden he races down to the end zone, catches it, intercepts his own pass, and run back the other way and score a touchdown for the other team. That's what we're doing a lot of times. The enemy doesn't even have to strike at us. We are defeating ourselves by not staying focused. You know, and this is something that I want to, the last analogy I'm going to give to you tonight, because this is something that everybody don't understand. Okay, we do incur debt. Debt is not a problem. People owe us too, and sometimes that's not a problem. But it does say forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. But it does not say that we should forever be in debt. So that means all the nonsense and all the silly things that I see on the infomercial TV when I get up late at night where it says, we can get you out of debt in 5 years. We have a 5-year plan. We have a 3-year plan. We have a 2-year plan. Let me tell you something. If it says forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors, that means that we should not forever remain in debt. That means that there is a way. God created the earth in 6 days, or the 7th day he rested. So you think that if you don't put your prayers up to God that he can't get you out of debt, you mean to tell me you got to wait 5, 2, 6, 7 years to get out of debt? He did all this and he wants you to be in debt that long? Stop playing. Pray it up. Put it up in prayer. Stay focused. Focus your prayers. Put your prayers where it should be at. I'm going to tell you. How do you know I'm yelling? But anyway, you know, before we end the night, I just want to, you know, give y'all something positive and something for y'all to, you know, think about before I join y'all again on my next broadcast. And, you know, a lot of times we wake up in the morning with no direction, you know, no focus. So for those of you that don't have any focus, I'm going to give you something for you to focus on in the morning when you wake up in the morning. So you wake up in the morning, you know, and you don't have to go all the way to the bathroom mirror or whatever. Sometimes you might have a TV screen where, you know, you have to auto-save and it cut off and you see a blank screen and probably see your reflection. I want you to go either look at your reflection or imagine your reflection, and I want you to look at it real good. And just look. It could be in the mirror. Like I said, it could be anything. And just repeat after me. And it says, I am awesome. Thank you, God, for making me the awesome person that I am. That's it. You know, practice that. You know, practice make persons. I said that before. Practice make persons. Practice that. Practice. You know, there's nothing that we can't do, that we can't accomplish. Once we lockstep in with God and we pray and let him know and we put that prayer up, come on. Well, we got to be in debt for 5 years or 4 years, or we have to have an interloper. Put them prayers up and put everything in perspective. And it don't have to be about debt. It could be about anything. Okay? So just remember, you know, I'm here. I'm blessed to be doing these broadcasts. Happy to be with Purpose Kingdom Network. Happy to be broadcasting. I'll be on the air each and any time I can with God's room, God's blessing. I'm there with you. I'm there for you. Thanks, everybody. God bless everybody, and good night.
Jesus led.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never want to see me down.